We are back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I would like for you guys to know that I have traded both Jason and Mr. Dave Eddy for some podcast co-hosts to be named later. I'm just kidding. But nevertheless, we are going to try something new this week. I'm going to bring up a topic that both Dave and Jason have no idea about. And I'm just going to ask him a question. Today's question is going to be, what is your favorite chain restaurant to go to? My answer, Outback Steakhouse. I get the same thing. Well, I got the same thing every single time. It was French fries with cheese and bacon. I believe they're called their Aussie fries. That would be my place to go. Like when I got my first acceptance letter from college, we went to Outback Steakhouse. I could get whatever I wanted. Wasn't much hope for me to get into college, but I did. I did great. So don't worry about it. So now I want to hear from my man, Jason. So if Dave, you can throw him in. You cannot say Harry Carey's, okay?
But yeah, man, that's a tough one because I don't really visit a ton of national chains.
Well, yeah, because we should be eating local because.
And like, do you consider like what? Can I say something like fast casual, like a Chipotle? Because that was like my go-to restaurant when I need.
Okay. Something. Yeah. Are you a burrito or a bowl guy?
Bowl. But actually, lately I've been getting their quesadilla.
Don't sleep on the quesadilla. So you can only order that through the app, right?
No, you can go. I don't know. It's not on the menu when you walk in, but I ordered it there, and she kind of gave me like a side eye. But
is it good?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten the quesarito?
I have not.
That's on a secret menu. If you say you want the quesarito, it's a quesadilla on as your burrito.
It sounds like a Taco Bell item.
Yes, it does, but it's good because it's Chipotle. I love Chipotle.
Yeah,
it's an unbelievable like fast food. Yeah, do you have a Qdoba there or no?
We do. So it's kind of a funny story.
Every time.
I actually didn't ever, before Chipotle was a thing, I think, I'm not sure, but around us, Qdoba, well, Michigan at the time, Qdoba was around before Chipotle. Mm-hmm. And it was like, wow, this is amazing. Fast casual, amazing Mexican food. Yep. And then Chipotle's kind of taken over. I've gone to Qdoba since, and it doesn't compare to.
It's not even close.
No. So yeah, I'm going to go with Chipotle.
Another Chipotle hack. If you're in the mood for a burrito, you order the bowl and then you get three small flour tortillas on the side.
Okay.
And then you just make your own little tacos because they give you so much more food in the bowl.
Oh, that's the life hack. You just got to get the bowl. And then I get just one giant tortilla. I don't get the three littles. Yeah. But I might do the three littles because it's only like a quarter more for the tortilla.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's guess what we think Dave's going to say. He's going to be like, what's like some...
It's like Big Boy, I think. I think it's
like
a Big Boy.
Jack in a Box? I feel like that's a big deal somewhere. I mean,
I think Jack in a Box, Big Boy, that's like...
Crack a Barrel.
Oh, okay.
That's all right, Dave, come on in, bud.
He's not even gonna. There he comes.
So fun fact: I do love Cracker Barrel. I don't even know where there's a Jack in the Box. If I were to here, I'm gonna find out. There's probably not one close. Hey Siri.
I feel like Big Boy.
Where is the nearest Jack in the Box?
The closest one I see is FedEx Dropbox on
50 Drive. Damn technology.
Yeah. Big Boy's like I think it's like a diner type burger place. I know they used to have it in Michigan. I don't know if they still do. They don't have
Big Boy anymore. Is the shit.
See?
I'm trying to think what it is.
It's like a diner burger place, isn't it? Or something?
It's like Is Johnny Rockets a thing for you guys or not?
Yeah, we have those.
I've heard of
it. In the mall. It's like the only place I've ever seen.
But my actual answer, oddly enough, is probably what I'm going to order tomorrow. And it's not tomorrow, on Thursday. Because on Thursday, and maybe, I don't know if this is a thing everywhere, I assume it is, but maybe this will give you a quick hint. They have BOGO something on Thursdays.
Oh, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wild
Wings. That's a good one.
Buy one, get one boneless wings. Let's go.
There's one like within walking distance of my job. Granted, I literally never go there. I think I've worked there. I've been there for like 2.5 years, and I think I've gone there like twice. I don't know why, because I could. I mean, I wouldn't walk there because I'm fat and lazy. But I could. But I could walk there.
That's a good answer, actually. I love a good
Buffalo Wild Wings, man. But yeah,
that is very good.
I don't want to spend like 5 minutes every week on this, Nick. But I would love to have like a Nick Z question of the week where.
Oh yeah, so you know, this by all means, inspired. Man, so every morning, I ask my students at camp.
Yeah,
I just ask them a random question. Like today what's your favorite restaurant to go to? So I was like, I'm going to bring it up to the boys. So
every week I'm expecting a Nick Z question of the week. I don't want to know about it ahead of time.
Yeah, no.
As a matter of fact, I don't know about Jason, but I would be okay with two different questions. Okay, and when we bring Jason on, you ask Jason his question. So Jason has no time to think about it.
Yeah.
And then that way I'm not in the background thinking about how, and then you throw one at me.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nice.
All right. That's enough. That's enough horseplay, guys. Let's get down to I can play that. Let's get down to some business here. And you know, I guess originally I didn't necessarily plan on, you know, wanting to talk about the trade deadline again after it happened. It was obviously fun to talk about beforehand, but holy shit. The trade deadline was outrageous, and so I thought, well, let's kind of hit, you know, some of the top, you know, the biggest trades, you know. I'm like, you know, we'll pick a couple. And so I'm going through the, you know, the trade tracker, and I'm trying to look and see, okay, what, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 trades do I want to talk about? And I came up with 7 that we had to discuss. Like, you know, 7 was about as short as I could cut it, because there were just so many deals and there were so many big deals. So I kind of went I wanted to go like in order of like importance, and I was like, no, that's really hard to do. So I just kind of went here randomly. So I thought I'll rattle off the deal real quick, and then I just would love to hear your guys' thoughts on them. So I do start with one that I think is the biggest, and that was, you know, the Dodgers getting Max Scherzer and Trey Turner for, I would argue, not a whole lot. They got Kiber, is how he has said he wants his name to be pronounced. So Kiber Ruiz, Josiah Gray, Donovan Casey, and Gerardo Carrillo. So I've got Scherzer in my dynasty ranks, 109th. Trey Turner is at 6. And then Ruiz and Gray are in there as well. I've got Gray at 424. He got a nice little bump with his promotion a couple weeks ago. And then Ruiz is at 740. So, I don't know. I kind of made a big stink about it all over the place. I think that's just an atrocious return for Trey Turner, let alone, you know, you throw in Max Scherzer on top of that. I think that if that trade was for Trey Turner, I'd probably go, okay. I can see it. Okay. I don't love it, but I get it. But then for Max Scherzer as well, I mean, man, to me, that's fucking terrible. But anyways, what do you guys think?
I'm going to start this one off just because I think Jason's going to have a lot of things to say about trades later. So I'm going to take the floor first on this one. So just some inside baseball, no pun intended, to the 30 Rock chat. We were throwing out names like Gavin Lux is going back to the Nationals. Maybe Justin May. He's hurt, but like, it's value.
Yeah, I would have bet you money that Lux was part of that deal. I would have bet you money.
With Turner being the one trade, you're like, okay, it just works.
I said it's Lux, and then what else is on top of Lux? Is it Lux and Ruiz? Is it Lux and Gray? Yeah, I thought Lux was a given, but anyways. And
it was just like, you see it come out, because like, you see it slowly trickles out. It's like one guy's like, all right, so Kiber is being sent. And then you're like, okay, like that's like a secondary piece. That's not your 1A of a trade when you're trading a player.
Top 10 player in baseball.
A top 10 player in baseball.
Yeah. He's not a rental. So I know he doesn't have
everyone
like.
Everyone could have paid years. This. Literally anybody could have paid this price.
Yeah.
The Red Sox could have paid it. The Cubs could have paid it. The Tigers could have paid it. You wanted Seattle to get him. Seattle could have easily paid it without even getting Max Scherzer, and they probably would have given them more.
Yeah, I mean, who knew that they could have got Max Scherzer and Trey Turner for, like, Marte?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have done that, but, well, maybe I would have. I don't fucking know, but either way, yeah, I don't know.
It just didn't make sense. And I was, like, there were some people in the in our chat that were like, well, like, it's because of this many years of control. But, like, dude, come on.
It's a light return. I mean,
and if your main piece is a catcher, get the fuck out. That's it.
Yeah. Just going to echo everything you guys already said. I think, you know, if they were just rentals, I think that's the biggest issue is, you know, yeah, Scherzer's a rental, but, you know, Trey Turner has a whole nother friendly, team friendly year next year. He's still arbitration eligible. So to get, you know, and then not only that, but the Dodgers traded with, in their organizational depth. I mean, like you said, they gave up a catcher. Wow, we'll be there. They have Will Smith entrenched there.
And Diego Cartea right behind him. So, I mean, yeah. Ruiz was – I mean, and I know that the Nationals shouldn't care. But, right. Yeah, Ruiz was kind of a luxury piece, I mean, if we're being honest. And then same thing with Gray. If you're getting Scherzer, I mean, I imagine they're going to re-sign him. Or they're sure as hell going to try. You didn't need Gray anyway. So, I mean – the right. Dodgers literally gave up. Like they're like, who gives a shit? Here you go. This is what you want. You know, I mean, it was they gave up nothing.
Yeah, and then they have you know Dustin May coming back next year too. So it's like they had the pitching depth in order to get rid of Josiah Gray, and then also you know he's been nice and all, but he's also a converted shortstop that's only got like 200 innings pitched in his career. So you know he's more of a, probably projects more as a mid rotation arm, if not even someone that Cub fans are familiar with, like a Carlos Marmol type, where you know down the road is this guy someone that's just more of a bullpen arm. So you know it was just I agree it was totally a light return for a team to get rid of a top 10 non-rental baseball player for basically two guys is kind of crazy
if you and a no doubt Cy Young caliber pitcher and granted right. that it's a rental but and listen no knock on the Dodgers whatsoever if that was the Red Sox, if that was the Cubs, if that was the Tigers, yeah. And if we got that deal, I'd be fucking thrilled. I would be absolutely thrilled. If I'm a Washington Nationals fan, I am just wondering what the fuck. Do we really want to get rid of Trey Turner that bad?
I mean, you're
trading Max. I get it. You know, whatever.
Yep.
You trade Max. You get back what you can. That's cool. But I don't know.
To throw in Turner was kind of a head scratcher. I agree.
Yeah, it was weird. Anywho, moving on. Let's get to we'll skip the Cubs here for the end. So next one, we'll do the Cubs all kind of one big group. I think.
Okay.
Blue Jays, my second favorite team, acquired one of my dudes, Jose Berríos, and the return for him was actually a lot more than people expected. But I think it makes sense. They gave up Semien Woods, Richardson, who I have 320th in my rankings, and they gave up Austin Martin, who became, you know, a huge talking point. He is 116th in my rankings. I have Berríos at 65th. So I think that's a fantastic deal for the Blue Jays. I don't think that Berríos is necessarily like a major league ace, but I think he's a very high quality number two. Change of scenery may actually do him kind of well. He's kind of always underperformed a little bit, but I love Semien Woods Richardson. I think he's got a lot of upside. I think he's a great get, and Austin Martin is, I mean, I guess take your pick. People either kind of love him or they kind of hate him. And you know, we've seen a lot of stuff come out about Austin Martin, and you know, I even wrote some up in my article. I had wrote an article that came out the day after the deadline where I talked about all the prospects that got traded and gave a quick little blurb on them. And I'm certainly not that high on Austin Martin. I know 116 is still pretty high, but he's slowly working his way on those rankings, unfortunately. But what do you guys think of that deal?
I think it's one of the few deals that we saw. I think both teams kind of walking away with, you know, their heads held high. You know, the Blue Jays get some pitching with their kind of desperate for it, trying to get a wild card spot out of that AL East. So they, you know, they, like you said, a good change of scenery kind of guy in Barrios, and they have him for another year under control next year.
Yeah, and they'll get to sign him.
Yeah, so you can kind of see where they give up the, you know, the little bit bigger of a return. And if you're Minnesota, I mean, like you said, this is a good return for them. I mean, Simeon Woods Richardson's phenomenal. I feel like he's going to turn out to be a pretty good replacement for Barrios in the future.
Yeah,
and then absolutely. Like I said, Martin, he's obviously the biggest name as far as ranked prospects go via like many of the industry lists. So I feel like, you know, teams nowadays seem like they're gonna maybe like the high contact rate versus the high upside power guys. So I can kind of see where Martin kind of fits in that, you know, as time goes on, it's showing more to be of a contact hitter and less power. But yeah, I think this was a win-win for both teams. And I feel like, most teams usually walk away with, oh, this team was a winner, this team was not. But both these teams, I feel like, got a good better end of the stick. So, yeah, I like this for both of them.
I agree.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
I actually saw a tweet right before we got on. It was by Shelly V. She's on Dynasty Guru over the Monster.
She's in a relegation league.
Oh, is she?
Well, MLB level. Yeah, she's in the MLB.
She said, the more I look, is Austin Martin the next Jonathan India? And that's perfect. And
that makes sense.
India is a good player.
And as someone who covers the Reds quite extensively, I mean, she would be the India expert.
It's just like a guy, like people need to stop looking at these guys as like, oh, this guy needs to be a superstar. What's up, Jeff?
So fun fact, Jeff and I actually made a trade in another 30 team league. I'm trying to remember what I got from him. Anyway, I traded JD Martinez.
Ooh.
I got, it was a team where it was win now, and okay. I'm like seventh or eighth or something. And I'm too far behind to catch up. Jeff is, I think, third, fourth, second, somewhere in that neighborhood. And so being a fantasy six pack guy, I put JD up, put Trout up, I put a few guys up, and we had reached back and forth a little bit, and I needed pitching in that league. So I'm doing like across the board, except for like maybe stolen bases, I'm, you know, top of the league in all offensive categories, even with Trout out for so long. So moving JD made sense to me and I wanted pitching. I got Nick Lodolo, Devin Williams, Will Crow, a second and a third round pick.
That's pretty good.
So
that's a good return for JD.
Yeah, and he needed a bat. So he got a bat that isn't like he's old. I mean, JD is what, like 30, 31, 32, yeah. 33. He's not too old.
He's not been great recently.
So,
yeah.
So, hey, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. Jeff also does podcasts here on
Stack
Fantasy Six. Yeah, exactly. God, I don't want to guess the night rug. I want to say it's like
Wednesdays, I believe.
I think it's Wednesdays.
Okay.
Wednesdays at 9.
Give Jeff a good look, man. I love the accents that him and his guys have. I love watching them. It's a good thing. So definitely check out that Stack Attack podcast for sure. as well. But anyways, I think I hijacked you talking about
Austin Martin. I mean, I was mostly just talking about Jonathan India. But
yeah,
it true. Was people just need to chill out. Like it's okay to not get a great guy that's going to hit you 30 home runs, because good players win you real baseball games and they win you fantasy championships. Being good is okay. You don't need to be great. That's it.
All right. Well, let's get on to a couple Yankee trades. Yankees definitely made their mark, on the trade deadline, and they did so well here real quick. Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Stack Attack.
I was right. Thank you.
Yeah, so 25 hours. So yeah, after our show, you got about 24 hours to recuperate.
And Jeff, then send me a promo video for your
topless. He likes some topless. It may just be me. He asked for topless. I don't know, but he always has
peanut butter. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. So don't think he's weird if he asks that, Jeff. He literally that's what he does. So anyways, Yankees. They acquired exactly, I think, what they needed, and what plays well in that ballpark is, you know, power left-hand bats. And last week, when we were talking about Joey Gallo, I had said I didn't think he was going anywhere. We all kind of agreed. And I said, you know, the fun spot for him to go would be the Yankees. It would be kind of fun to see Stanton, Judge, Gallo, you know. And sure as shit, that's where he went. And, you know, I don't really think the Yankees gave up a whole lot. They gave up Ezekiel Duran. Let me look here. They gave up, where am I at? Ezekiel Duran, Josh Smith, Glenn Otto, and Trevor Hauver. Hauver's the only guy I have. In my rankings, even though Duran probably should be in there. I mean, Smith is a decent middle infield prospect. Otto's had some pretty good numbers. The reality is I think Duran's probably the headline there, even though he's not ranked and Hauver is. But they gave up a lot of names, but I don't think they gave up a whole lot of actual, I don't want to say talent because that sounds bad, but I think they could have, you know, I think they could have done worse there. A lot of names, but for a guy that wasn't also, again, a rental, I feel like that's a pretty light return. I don't think it's as bad as that Nationals and Dodgers deal, but that's a surprisingly light return for Gallo, in my opinion. Perfect fit for the Yankees. I'm sorry, Nick, but, you know, absolutely perfect for them. What do you guys think there?
Yeah, that's a steal for the Yankees right there. Like I said before, just echoing what you said, those guys that they gave up were basically just organizational depth at this point. I mean, they could obviously, you know, develop into something a little bit more, but even at that, they're more just like middle infield depth guys at this point, maybe some utility guys at the big league level. And to get a, you know, 30 to 40 home run hitter in, you know, especially in Yankee Stadium next year, I mean, that guy, Gallo, could easily hit 40, even 50 home runs if he stays healthy.
No doubt about
obviously,
that.
Obviously, staying healthy is going to be a huge issue for him. But, yeah, I mean, this was a steal for the Yankees. And like you said, they needed left-handed bats. Before they got Rizzo and Gallo, I think they only had about two lefties in that lineup. So this was a huge addition for the Yankees.
Yeah, it sucks.
I know. I'm sorry, buddy.
I don't know. It didn't make sense. I mean, obviously they weren't going to trade any of their top guys and they fucking still got fucking Rizzo. Don't even get me started. But yeah,
this is the kind of deal like for Gallo, not for Rizzo, but for Gallo, I would expect, you know, the return to be Peraza and one of these guys.
Or
maybe not Duran, but you know, Peraza and Otto.
Like somewhat.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I like Otto. He's probably going to be a reliever, but he's good.
No, yeah, he's got decent numbers.
Good year.
Yeah, he's not bad.
He's probably he projects more as a reliever.
Yeah,
but whatever.
So not to rub any salt in the wound, but Yankees also acquired Anthony Rizzo for a guy that I believe that we've talked about on this podcast, Kevin Alcantara, and Alexander Vizcaino. I've got Rizzo 88th in my rankings. I've got Alcantara 450, and Vizcaino 822. So I think that this is a pretty fair deal. If anything, I actually think the Cubs did decent in this one. I think just getting Alcantara, I think, is a pretty decent return for Rizzo. And then Vizcaino is just kind of a throw-in, so whatever in that case. But, yeah, I think that's a good deal both ways. I think it makes sense, again, for the Yankees. You know, with or without Gallo, Rizzo's a huge need. I think he would have been a perfect fit in Boston as well. I can't believe – I'd be surprised if Boston didn't – I don't know. I guess I don't know why Boston would have offered more than that. But good deal. I think they got a nice return there on him, and it's a guy that, if I'm not mistaken, I believe when I heard earlier today, they said, like, Rizzo – and correct me on this, Jason, because I don't know the exact numbers. Don't have it looked up. But Rizzo has got, like 17 home runs or something this year. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it was definitely around that, maybe 15 somewhere, before it was traded.
Yeah, it was somewhere in that neighborhood. Well, anywho, they did the, you know, expected home runs if he played, you know, his home games in Yankee Stadium. And he went from like 15, 16, 17 home runs up to like 22, 23, 24. I don't remember the exact numbers, but his home run total like was like half again as much if he was playing in New York. So I think if you're a Rizzo owner, you're probably thrilled. If you're Nick, you're bummed. If you're anyone else, I think you think that's probably a pretty fair deal. But I don't know. What more thoughts you guys got there?
Yeah, I mean, putting my bias aside, I think, this is pretty much in line with what you should expect to get in return for a Rizzo. a lot of young. If it's one thing the Cubs, you know, I don't want to jump the gun too much, but one thing the Cubs have been doing is requiring young, high upside hitters. That's kind of clearly evident on what they've been doing and trying to get in return, even when looking back at the Yu Darvish deal. So they're kind of not looking like a full, I mean, this is looking like a full rebuild. I don't foresee a quick retool here, just based off of the return that they're getting from these guys. But I think it's a fair deal. Like you said, if anything, the Yankees may be slightly overpaid just on just the unknown of the guys that they have now as far as the young talent that they gave up. Other than, you know, Vizcaino, he's like more of like a bullpen piece, but Alcantara is a great get for Rizzo.
Yeah, I agree.
It sucked. this hurt more than Gallo. Just because like all week it was just like Red Sox Rizzo. Sox Rizzo. And I was like, great. Like he's coming back home.
Rizzo would have been like the perfect addition.
Perfect. And then,
for the Red Sox.
It's just they didn't get a first baseman at all. They got Kyle Schwarber.
Don't even
poking the angry the sad
boss. I'll tell you the highlight of the whole Rizzo thing getting traded for me was I saw Cubby had posted a picture of Rizzo wearing a FSU shirt. So you talk about a kick in the nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
at least boy, it wasn't a Florida shirt, right?
Yeah, boy, Cubby got double kicked, and then as his Cubby got dealt, and he was wearing an old shirt.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But all right, well, let's go ahead, and we got a couple more here, both involving some Cubs. So I'll spit them out here together, and then we'll talk probably more about the Bryant deal here. But Javier Baez got dealt for Pedro Armstrong. And Chris Bryant got dealt for Alexander Canario and Caleb Bakilian. I don't think that the Bryant deal is that big of a deal. I do like Canario quite a bit. I think he's a nice piece. Being a rental, I think that's the right price for Bryant. Javier Baez, on the other hand, he got a very nice return. I love Pedro Armstrong. Let's see, Pedro Armstrong here for me. Where the hell is my note on him? He is 241st in my ranking. So other than Austin Martin, you know, he's kind of pretty much the highest ranked prospect. So I think that's an absolutely fantastic get for the Cubs. And then I kind of skipped over, there's been so many goddamn trades. I kind of skipped over the other one too. Craig Kimbrel, he got a hell of a return as well. Craig Kimbrel got Nick Madrigal, who I never in a million years would have thought that they were looking to trade, especially for what's probably going to end up being their eighth inning guy. But hey, good on them. That's a good deal. And then Cody Hoyer as well got traded. So White Sox, you know, have two of the top, 10 closers in baseball, two of the top five closers in baseball on their team now. So hell of a get. I don't mind that they paid, you know, Madrigal. I mean, it's a lot to give, but, you know, getting a guy like Kimbrel who can lock down the eighth and ninth inning for them, that's going to be a huge – I mean, that's huge. So I do like that. I think that they did really well there. But let's go with you then, Jason. Let's hear your thoughts since we're talking about a bunch of Cubs again. We're talking Baez, Bryant, Craig Kimbrel.
Sure. We'll just start with some quick notes on the Kimbrel deal. I think a lot of that had to do with the Sox, you know, Madrigal's hurt for the year. The Sox obviously see the road to the World Series is, you know, looking to go through Chicago. So, I mean, they basically have that AL Central lined up. Madrigal's hurt for the year, so why not? You know, obviously, they don't maybe see future plans for him, but they want to win now. So, it was kind of a maybe, you know, especially an old school manager like La Russa, they want to shorten the game.
The Penguin?
Yeah, exactly.
That was funny.
Yeah, you get a an eighth and ninth inning guy that
looks like you running, Dave.
Oh my god, yeah, me running the B Dubs get Boga wings.
I love that return for Kimbrel. Again, obviously, you know, I'm biased again here, but the Pedro Armstrong return for Baez, a guy that's striking out 30% of the time, and obviously it hurts the Cubs a little bit, but not really because he's hurt this year, so maybe kind of lowered his price tag a little bit, but.
That, again, to another, me, and this is gonna, this might be way off in the long run, but this is got shades of Jared Kelenic to me all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen
Armstrong is gonna be good. I think he's he's very underrated. I could see this being Kelenic 2.0. I'm dead serious.
Yeah, I mean, he's not his name too. Top 20 pick in 2020. You just added him for a guy that you weren't even gonna re-sign. So I mean, you gotta love that.
Yeah, great deal.
Yeah, and again, like the only thing I'd, you know, obviously the Giants for Bryant was a little head scratching just because of all the returns I think that the Cubs are getting for their guys. But again, you know, Bryant's a little bit of an outlier. You know, he's kind of struggled the last 2 months in June and July. He's also owed like $20 million this year. So I can guess you can kind of see where the lower return came from KB. But even the two guys that they got, like you said, the Canario, another, again, they all, if you look what Jed's doing, he's just requiring all these super young, high upside players. Love it, Hubby. But yeah, I mean, Killian, he's, you know, obviously catapulted his stock this year. Double A's been having a great year.
I don't know who the hell he is. I'm going to look him up.
He was a bit of a no-namer until this year. Killian, he's having a really good year at Double A this year, which is, I think is what the Cubs kind of got.
If you read my article, Nick, you would know a little bit about.
Oh no, I'm saying like I didn't know about him prior to this. Yeah.
Okay,
but again, just you know, I'm biased, and I love what the Cubs got in return for all their guys. The only thing I just question about it a little bit is just getting a lot of these young. I guess you can call them unproven, you know, commodities. These guys are hitting, you know, great at low A and rookie ball, but what's going to happen when they get into the, there's just a lot of unknowns. So, but I love it.
That's when pre-Armstrong starts winning MVPs.
Yeah. That was my favorite deal of all the deals at the Cup.
Sure.
Obviously, the Kimbrel deal was really nice, but again, you know, we've kind of seen Madrigal's ceiling. It's just a .300 hitter. But yeah, I mean, the Baez.
Jeff is smart.
Yeah.
Agreeing with me.
That was my favorite return out of all the Cubs deals. So, I mean, that one was – I was actually shocked. I don't know if, you know, the Mets were eager to get Baez and Lindor together.
Yeah,
but,
they were.
to give up your first-round pick from last year for a rental was huge. So, I love that deal for them.
Yeah, they have to resign him for that to even remotely make sense.
Right.
But I mean that could be the most explosive, electric, fun to watch middle infield in baseball. You know, right. you could have. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's entirely possible that, you know, Baez sparks something in Lindor, and you get back to, you know, even if you get back to 90% of Lindor, you know, just that alone makes, you know, that Baez value even more.
Sure.
And then just defensively, I mean, that's a nice up the middle, you know.
Yeah.
With those two, you got some speed, you got some power. I mean, yeah, Baez isn't, you know, maybe everything that he was once cracked up to be, but he's still a really good ball player. And if he helps, you know, Lindor out, that's just some extra value that you didn't expect. But yeah, of all those deals, I think the return that I like the most is, you know, getting Pecor Armstrong for Baez. I think that's fantastic. And it makes sense both ways. It's probably a bit of an overpay, but it makes sense. And then I think, you know, getting Madrigal and Hoyer for Kimbrel, I think that's a really nice return as well. And then I think the Austin Martin and especially Simeon's with Richardson for Berrios, I think that's a nice deal too. I think all three of those really make a lot of sense.
For sure. Go Cubs, go.
All right. Well, it's time to do our On the Farm again this week, and it's my turn. And so I'm actually going with a guy that I saw live last week, but I cannot get into anything until we've done this. Down on the farm. So with that out of the way, now we can talk about my guy, Tirso Ornelas. He's 910th in my dynasty rankings. I don't know that he's necessarily like a household name by any stretch, but I think especially people doing dynasty or deep dynasty, especially this is a guy that's probably decently well-known. 21-year-old outfielder in the San Diego Padres organization, guy that I thought there's actually a decent chance he would get traded. He kind of reminds me of like Anderson Espinoza, you know, the pitcher who also went to the Cubs. You know, a guy that, you know, once had a much higher ceiling and was much, much more highly regarded than he is now. Oh, all right, Cubby. It's been a pleasure, my friend.
Take it easy, Cubby.
But with Tirso, you know, heading into 2019, he was kind of one of the highest ceiling guys in that Padres organization who, you know, always have good prospects. So, you know, that really is saying something. Was thought to have a real good feel for getting on base, projected to have, you know, plus raw power, and he proceeded to just shit the bed in 2019. Things were starting to look a little bit better in 2020. Obviously, he wasn't playing over here in the States. He was playing over in Mexico, having a really solid year that abruptly got ended. He broke a bone in his forearm, and he had to have season-ending surgery. So that was a bummer because he was really kind of lighting it up with, you know, probably, you know, lighter competition, but it was nice to see him, you know, getting back to form. So this offseason, Padres revamped his swing, tried to, you know, get as much as they could out of his hit tool because he still has a really good hit tool. They were just trying to maximize that, you know. Got a very smooth, explosive left-handed swing. Still projects to have, you know, above-average power, even though when we get to his numbers, you'll see it isn't really translated to games yet. He's got average speed. I think he's destined for corner outfield spot eventually. You know, him having an above average arm and the type of bat he has, I think that's going to make for a nice fit, even though you'll see him playing some center field nowadays. I don't think that's where he ends up. Like I said, saw him play earlier last week. He was in the middle of a hot streak. I think he was in like a 5-for-10 streak going on. Watched him crush a home run to right field, pulled that sucker. His minor league stats, though, like I had said, aren't really a lot if you're looking at stats alone where you would think that this guy is worth a shit. But you know how I feel about, you know, minor league stats. However, if we were to span his entire minor league career, we're looking at 312 games. That's roughly two major league, you know, seasons, basically. So if you were to take his stats, cut him in half, you'd be looking at a guy with 7 home runs, 8 stolen bases, 73 RBI. So, you know, nothing that gets you excited there. Sitting at 241 on the batting average, 336 on base, and 685 OPS. So, again, there's nothing there that screams, you know, top prospect. You got to go get him, you know. But at the same time, you know, he's not that far removed from being a pretty highly thought of prospect, even if, you know, not super highly ranked, just because he did have, you know, that huge ceiling. So I think that he probably can come cheap enough, depending on the league you're in, he might be for free, that you could do a hell of a lot worse, you know, than making a low-key move to get Tirso Ornelas on your team. I, you know, taking the shot that, you know, he does reach that ceiling or at least gets close to reaching that ceiling. So that's my guy for this week. I think I sent you guys video of his – I think I – took video of the at-bat before the home run, of course.
I believe so, yes.
He hit a RBI double in the gap. Nice line drive double score run. But what do you guys think, if anything? Try not to go too deep. I try to keep it relevant.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do something that wasn't Wander Franco, you know?
Yeah. The Padres are a team I like to target for prospects just because they seem to know their shit with them. And to me, I think it's more likely that they don't want to trade him than teams not asking for him in, like, negotiations, if you will. Like, they're saying, like, no, like, why don't you look at hit, like, this group of players? We want to keep Tirso? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
We want to keep him. So I'm hoping that because he's someone that I've liked for before he was bad.
Yeah, he's been around for a little while. Yeah. I mean, in prospect circles, I feel like this is the guy that we've been talking about for, you know, like 3 years, you know.
And he was like 17.
Yeah.
So
which is normal.
Yeah.
And, you know, to your point,
guys talking about 17-year-old boys. That's fine.
Yeah. Right. So to your point though, the guy that started the game that I watched was Anderson Espinoza.
Yep.
And he looked really good and I was happy to see that. So it's to your point of, I don't know if I should be more concerned that the Padres, you know, moved on from him, you know, and traded him. Or does that mean that, you know, the Cubs are interested in, and see something, you know, I'm sure it's a little bit of both, but, you know, I was a little bit torn on seeing him traded because I don't know which side of the fence, because he's been back this year. He's actually pitched really well the last three or four games. He threw pretty darn good last week when I saw him. I mean, he didn't dominate. He had one, not even bad inning, but one inning where, you know, it wasn't smooth. The rest of the way, he looked great. So I was excited to see him healthy and pitching well. So interesting, you know, I thought there was a good chance that Tirso was going to get dealt as well. But, yeah, what do you think, Jason?
Yeah, just real quickly, a lot of things I was going to bring up you already talked about. But, yeah, I mean, he was someone that I still actually own in one of my deeper dynasty leagues. Because, like you said, three years ago, he was thought of as a high upside guy. And just haven't really seen the power translate. However, he does have 25 doubles that leads Midwest Central League. So if he can just – I think he seems to be like one of those guys that if he could just, you know, maybe take on maybe a higher launch angle somehow. I know they've already readjusted as a swing. I don't know if it was to get more higher launch angle. If he can get some, you know, launch angle on that bat, I mean, he's easily in the 20 home run guy. So
yeah, he's a big dude. I mean, yeah. You know, when you see him, he's not small. You know, he's got a little bit of speed, but you know, it's a power just that hasn't translated to the game yet. And
exactly. And
a lot of times, and we've talked about this before, especially when we're talking about like ISO. I think, you know, guys usually progress from hitting a lot of doubles to turning those doubles into home runs.
Exactly.
And so to your point of, you know, he's hitting for a lot of doubles, those will probably, you know, turn into some home runs. And it's just funny that a guy that has, you know, a pretty good power profile has hit 14 home runs in basically the equivalent of two major league seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, another reason why, good or bad, I try not to put a whole lot of stock into minor league stats because guys are either still developing a lot of times,
right?
Or especially when it comes with pitching, you know, it's not uncommon for even, you know, your top pitching prospects to say, all right, next three or four games, I need to focus on my changeup. I'm going to throw this motherfucker 60% of the time, and I'm going to get a feel. I'm going to get a changeup. I'm going to throw it in a game. So he might get knocked around a little bit, and you go, man, this guy just gave up six runs, and last week, and last game, he gave up four, and boy, he's getting hit around lately. What's going on? Well, maybe nothing, and that's the thing. When you just look at the box score, you don't know that, and you don't realize these things. And hitters would do the same thing. You know, hitters will be working on, oh, I'm really trying to work on going the opposite field, and so all of a sudden they start making weak contact, or you know, things start going sour. And the reality is they're making themselves a better player. Mm-hmm. Just you're not seeing it right then and there. You'll see the fruits of those labor down the road. So, and that's happening all the time. It's not too often that you got minor league players of any caliber who are just going out there and they're just playing baseball. They're almost all working on something. It's just a matter of to what degree, you know, are they working on it, and, you know, how big of a change is it for them? So when I say I take minor league stats with, you know, with a grain of salt, that's the main reason why is, you know, they're not just out there giving it their all, you know, at you know, they're working on stuff, I guess is the best way to put it, a lot of times. And for you don't know that, because how could you, you know? And, you know, guys do that at the big league level as well, but it's not like at the minor league level where that's just constantly happening, and oftentimes to a very high degree.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
All right, boys. Well, it's been a pleasure. The trade deadline is already one of my favorite times of the year, but this year especially was quite a treat. And as I mentioned in my article, I think the main reason that we saw so much more activity this year than we would, you know, in years past, really, is there was no post-waiver deadline. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't get a guy, you know, on the trade deadline, there was no, well, we'll just wait for Jonathan Scope to clear waivers, and then we can, you know, we can do something for them. So you aren't getting any of those. And not that you would see a ton of high impact post waiver moves, but you would see guys, you know, that were worth a shit, you know, when, you know, Red Sox missed out on this stuff and the Yankees didn't. I know, I'm sorry, but you would see the Red Sox now turn around and say, oh, okay, we need to fill this first base hole. We missed out on Rizzo. We missed out on this. We missed out on this. You know, a guy like a
Schwarber.
Well, yeah, well, whatever. So. But, you know, that would be a time where now, once everyone passes through waivers, now they got a couple more weeks, to look and say, okay, now what else is available? And let's make a move to get a guy like that. Maybe they could have ended – well, they went to get a Luke Voit. I was trying to think of a guy they would have got. No way the Yankees would have traded him Luke Voit. Yeah, but you get the point, you know, somebody, maybe a Scope all of a sudden becomes available again. Yeah. I doubt it, but I think that's why we saw the activity level that we did. It was now or nothing.
For sure.
All right, gents. It's been a pleasure. Nick, yep. I do look forward to your question next week, whatever it may be.
I actually have one last thing to say.
Oh,
okay.
I have to come clean our valued listeners.
Uh-oh.
You two know this. Uh-oh. I made a trade this last week in 30 Rock.
And I'm trying to remember what it was, but yeah.
T.J. Abrams for Jaren Duran and a shortstop by the name of Jose Barrero.
Oh, you're a douche.
No idea that this was Jose Garcia. Until after I made the trade. Literally was just like, oh, I've seen this guy on Twitter. Like, he's been doing well. Nice.
But you know what, though? That does remind me of something. I need to do this. So, Nick is fired. I don't know how you trade for, like, a top 75 prospect. Think that it's just some random guy that's getting thrown in, and he's actually, like, you know, a valuable piece.
Yeah, I mean,
so he's done. He's not coming back. That's it.
If I want to defend Nick a little bit, I mean, I don't think it's quite uncommon for these guys that come from the the Caribbean to eventually just change the name. I think there was another guy. I can't remember his name. I don't remember his name. I don't know anymore. But
that's okay. The point is, he thought that he was getting just.
This is true.
Yes, it's a bottom filler, just a throw in. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll do that deal. Oh, you want to give me some? Who is this guy? Yeah, that's fine. And then come to find out, that was a very valuable piece of the trade that he shouldn't have made that trade without getting this player.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to give him one last chance to say something. I'm just kidding. We don't want to hear your fucking voice. You douchebag. All right. That's going to end it. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Yep.